Welcome to the first show of 2026. And this is not only the first show, Happy New Year, by the way. It's also the debut show with the new name. You dig? So there it is, the new name. You dig? And I think that just kind of takes it all in right there. So that's the name of the show. It's the first one of 2026, the third season. This is going to be a big year, man. We're really going to be just pushing this thing, getting it going. So one of the things to help, I got to say right off the bat, is please hit like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. This will really help us grow this platform and this show and make it become the monster it needs to be. To get out there, share it with your friends, share it with your colleagues, tell your enemies about it. Everybody, friends and family, let them know about You Dig. And our first guest for 2026 is my dear friend and brother. Man, we go all the way back to the 80s and the last century. Frank Green, Frank David Green, one of the great trumpet players of all times. And we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. So let's get right to it. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Frank Green. Audience, ladies and gentlemen, look, it's Frank Green. Franklin, what are you doing?
Steve. What's up, man?
I can't even hear you because of this audience. Can we settle down the crowd, a little security for the front? You know, I just don't have good security here. Frank Green, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, full disclosure to the infinite multitudes who listen to us on a regular basis here to You Dig, full disclosure, Frank and I have known each other forever. We are family members, brothers in love forever. So I've known Frank forever. So this is a treat to say the least. But it's Frank Green Day here at You Dig, and this is the first show of 2026 and the first show with the new name You Dig. So look at this. You Dig? It's all an auspicious day. I tell people all the time, especially with some of my friends in New York, in Frank's area of endeavor out there in New York City, Manhattan, that the cats will even use the term You Dig as laughter. So if you tell somebody a joke, like, give me a punchline, any punchline at all. I'll do it.
Yeah, because he was tabled to the chicken.
you dig? You dig? You dig? It becomes the laughter. So you dig, highly appropriate.
Tabled to the chicken.
Ho! That's like, speaking of Letterman, that's like which we will be doing. One of my favorite shows they did was just all the dirty joke punchlines.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, speaking of coffee, I'm one of the only people in the world that has one of these.
Oh, I have mine. I'm just using my Japanese cup because I just got back.
Oh, that's right. Oh, boy, we want to hear all about that. Well, let's do it, man. One of the new things of 2026 is shorter shows rather than the full motion picture length productions in the past. So we'll make this just enough time for folks to commute with their coffee. So let's do it, man. We're going to start like the actor's studio. I've got the book of Frank right here. Frank book. Got my notes. Let's talk about your dad a little bit and about the house in general. So how in the world does music start for Frank Green? I don't think I know the origin story. What were some of the earliest influences?
You know, that's kind of a short story. You know, when we were younger, we got a chance to play an instrument. Remember that?
Yeah, so like recorders and stuff.
That's the one. So my sister had a recorder, and she was 5 years older than I was. And so I heard her make this sound, and I thought, man, I want one of those. And my parents, of course, being how they were, we're not going to buy you one. You'll get one for free when you get to a certain age. And so I had to wait that 5 year, agonizing years to wait. And then I played that little recorder. I must have played that 3 hours a day. I mean, I just loved that thing. And so it was just fun. It was fun to make a sound. And I remember asking my teacher, hey, when you lift up middle fingers with the other fingers down versus, you know, how they just have us go up and down.
Right.
I said, what is that? What's that sound that I hear? And they said, well, don't worry about that. You'll learn about that later. And so I kept experimenting, and I played my song flute. So when we went to the place where you can get an instrument, you can get an instrument to play because they had band. So I picked the drums. And my dad said, absolutely not. So I picked the quieter instrument, which is the trumpet. So my dad bought me a used cornet because, you don't know how into your kids are, so you don't want to take a chance. He bought me a used cornet, and then after I just played along with Herb Alpert recordings all day. It's all I wanted to do is play along with Herb Alpert recordings. Because I just love melodic playing. I always have loved melodic playing. And so, he had all these really great melodic melodies. I just play along with them all day. So my dad said, we'll buy you a trumpet.
Yeah, I just saw, he's back on the road.
Is he really?
Yeah, 90 now or something.
Herb's he's like 106 years old.
Ray Brinker's playing drums.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, wonderful trombone player. Ryan Dragon, I think, is the cat playing. But anyway, Killen, he sounded great, because he's kind of set up for it. There's nothing, he's not up there pasting high G's and stuff. He's playing beautiful melodies. I'd forgotten about some of those melodies.
That documentary on Herb is really good. It shows you how good those guys were in their heyday.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know a lot of that was Chuck Finley's brother did a lot of that stuff that Herb maybe faked later, Herb was still really good.
Yeah, he sounded wonderful. He even did a couple of tunes, and sounded great. Well, all right. So you're goofing around, but not goofing around. You're learning melodies. You're learning. This explains a lot about the way you play, I think, is that you're thinking melodically and you're picking it up by listening, which is what I did too.
That's fun.
So at what point do you hook up in high school with, how do you pronounce his last name, Bill?
Oh, Bill Nicolosi.
Nicolosi, yeah. Fortuitous thing, huh?
Because he directed, I auditioned for a regional band, big band. So it was, kids from, I think, 15 different high schools. And so somehow I won that audition, but I have no idea. I was like, 2 years old. But but I still played third or fourth because the other kids that had been in the band had been there for 2 or 3 years before me, which is fine. I didn't really want all that heat. So we played a tune called, this takes me back to my Maynard story. We did a tune called Hey Jude, but down a fourth because we were sixth grade, seventh grade. And it wasn't the Hey Jude part that I liked. Is that when you put the record down on the record needle down, you could hear a little bit of Freewheeler before that. I don't know if you remember Maynard's valve trombone solo on Freewheeler, but it was, especially at the end when he starts playing very melodically. I was like, wow, can I hear some of that? And it's like, no. I saved my money and I bought that record just so I could hear that solo on Freewheeler. And it's still one of my favorites. And so remember a couple years in, Maynard said, so what made you a Maynard fan? I was like, oh boy. So I said, I told him the story. I said, we did Hey Jude. He went, I went, no, hold on. I said, it's the tune before that. And he said, what? I said, Free went, yeah, right. And I sang him his solo on the bus. Yep. And he went, you're the weirdest lead trumpet player I've ever had. Because I guess it's unusual for that to be the reason. The high note thing came along later. It was exciting, but it was just hearing that, hearing him play that valve trombone solo. If you never heard it, that's like the last maybe minute or so of that record.
Yep.
Band is cranking.
I was a huge fan of his valve trombone playing. That on
Freewheeling,
on Shaft, he kills it on Shaft. It's great, great melodic stuff.
I got my picture right here, actually. I forgot who sent me this. It's a painting I made it. We have in our front room. It's been here for years.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It just happens to sit right where I'm sitting.
Among the many, many, many other things that Frank has done and is doing, we do share the University of Maynard Ferguson together, and that's a beautiful thing.
We have our degree in
Wow. So let's take one more moment in high school, and then we'll go on to North Texas and fame and fortune. San Jose City College, Dave Eshelman, what was that about?
We had a high school band, but it's no big deal because San Jose, in my school, there was like six trumpet players. And if you warmed up, you were better than everybody else. They weren't that serious about it because it wasn't that serious of a thing back then. But so I wanted to play in a group that maybe is a bit more advanced than my high school band. So Dave Eshelman, I met before at a couple of jazz camps. So he took pity on me and allowed me to play in his band at San Jose City College when I was still in high school. So I think it was like three bus transfers and a quarter mile walk to get to the school. But it was worth it because it was fun to, I got to meet Gerald Wilson for the first time at this thing.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool. So, it's funny. I asked Gerald Wilson about circular breathing. On top of everything else, I stupidly said, hey, how do you circular breathe? Because, you know, I was eight.
Right.
So I did several albums with Gerald Wilson over the years. And so I went, the very first time we got to do a record with him, I said, hey, John, I got a question for Faddis. I said, I got a question for Gerald. I said, remember in San Jose, some stupid kid asked you how to circular breathe? You know, Gerald's like, no, of course I don't remember that. It's like, well, that stupid kid was me. So, you know, after all the stuff he knows about arranging and composing and
right.
and scoring things, and I ask him how to circular breathe. And he showed me, though, but isn't that funny?
That's hilarious.
You don't know what you don't know, I guess. Right?
Man, oh, man. Well, all right, so you're having fun with, hey, you know, here's a question. So you're playing melodically, and you grew up listening to these types of players that are focusing on melody, and that's what a gift to have that as one of the first things you learn. But at what point did you start to develop your famous upper register? I mean, we might as well deal with the elephant in the room. I mean, there's so many things you do so well, but the upper register is one of them.
Well, I think this is where Bill Nicolosi comes in, because I was playing along with Maynard Records, because, you know, there's a period of time where Maynard was playing very melodic as well. I mean, he wasn't really
sure.
playing a lot of bebop. He wasn't, you know, wasn't
yep.
quite so crazy, but Maynard was a very melodic trumpet player. People don't always yep. recognize that, but his pursuit
right.
was being melodic. And so
yep.
my teacher said to me, look, I can see you're playing along with Maynard Records. I'm going to show you some exercises so that you don't hurt yourself.
Mm.
And so I still use a lot of those same exercises today, but he showed me
wow.
some things to do to help my body condition itself so that I don't, you know, hurt myself. But I spent
oh.
hours on those. I mean, I all through high school and in college, I spent hours on those exercises every day. You know, it takes a while. It takes
yep.
a while for them to kick in, you know.
But what a gift that you were learning the right way and how not to hurt yourself. And
well, he was
therefore
a Claude Gordon guy. You know, the Claude Gordon guys were all over the Bay Area. So he showed me some
yeah.
things. It wasn't Claude Gordon, but it had more of that kind of blow air through the horn kind of approach like Claude. And that's kind of where it left off. But it was
yeah.
kind of from that mentality of like, you know, put some air through the horn, you know, kind of thing.
Well, as we'll see later when we get into some of the music, that has served you well. And, you're one of these players. I think I made a funny meme once. It had two pictures of Frank Green. One was, well, you're just looks like you're barely playing, and it says Frank Green warming up. And then the next one, you look the same, and it says Frank Green on a double C. So that's it.
I wish
yeah,
it looked the same.
That's
doesn't
how
feel
you
the
gotta
same,
do.
That's for sure.
Well, we gotta take it up to modern times. So you go through. We meet each other. I get to meet Frank at North Texas University
mm-hmm.
of North Texas. So
yeah, that was great fun.
Oh, man, we were in the 1 o'clock together, and I could write for Frank. That's when I first started writing with Frank in mind. The professional world after North Texas and that wonderful experience that we both shared. You're out on the road. Who was first, and how'd you end up in New York?
Well, the New York thing came later. I never really wanted to live in New York. So when I was at North Texas, I won the Marvin Stamm Scholarship.
Well, that's right, yeah.
And so I got to meet Marvin and know Marvin Stamm pretty well. And so he kept saying, when are you going to move to New York? When are you going to move? And I said, I'm never going to move to New York.
Yeah.
At that time, I'm like living in Orlando, and I just bought a sports car for cash. I mean, it's like, why on earth am I going to move to New York and get in that rat race? So I kind of put it off for many years. But right after college, I was on Woody Herman's band. When I turned 21, I was on Woody Herman's band. That was fun. I did a year. I got to play with Roger Ingram and all the guys. People love Roger.
Sure.
You know, we're talking about Paul McKee and John Fedchuk and
yeah,
Dave Rickenberger and all those guys.
Yeah.
So it was a great band. I mean, Woody, I always got along with Woody really well. When he rode the bus, he'd almost always have me come up and he'd tell me stories about Bill Chase and people like that he loved.
Yeah.
He loved Bill Chase. I mean, I think Bill Chase was by far his favorite lead trumpet. So I get to sit and have some story time with him. I even spent the night in his room one night, which I'll tell you that story a different time. But it was a bit, I kind of went, okay, this is more information than I want, but okay. still clean, but you know, it's still more information
yeah.
than you want.
Well, this is when you learned about the tattoos and all that, you know. With that.
Mm-hmm. Something. We learned something.
Oh, so, you finally do make it to New York. At some point, you hooked up with our man, John Faddis, who...
I knew John. I purposely met John when I was about 17 years old.
Wow.
Because, you know, I'm a bit of a pragmatist in a way. So it's like, I don't like myself getting hung up too much with the details. It's like, well, I'm over here and I really want to be over here. So I'll just, what's the way to do that? So...
Mm.
I met John really early in life. So I knew John when I was in North Texas. And so
Oh, that early, you guys. Oh, yeah. was that when he came and did the trumpet conference or something? Was him and
when we did the thing, we did the recording session. Well, that too, but we did the recording session in New York. Remember that? That's Stan Kenton, the
Stan Kenton thing. Yep. And they were in the studio with us. I remember.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. I know that day was
trying to make you miss notes and stuff.
Sitting right in front of you, right? Trying to be. So that was the point where I remember we decided to put the trumpets in the front so that the Stan Kenton music, all the clams would probably get siphoned out with us in the front instead of in everyone else's microphone. Remember that? They had never really done that at North Texas. They always had the trumpets in the back. That day that we did the recording, having you behind me, I think it was just John got to hear what you sound like that. He was like, must be great. It's like, I can't hear a note. I'm playing. It's fantastic. But it's great. I mean,
sitting inside
of your sound was just unbelievable. It still is.
Oh, man. Bless your heart.
So I went out there with John, and we talked, and we got to hang out a little bit. So he even said, do you want to move to New York? I said, I don't want to move to New York.
Well, let's see. We are going to keep it at 40 minutes. We're going to jump into something. This is a surprise now. Frank does not know about this. But have you ever seen, you're a fan of Stephen Colbert, his bit?
Mm-hmm.
So he does a thing called the Colbert Questionnaire, where he gets to know people better. So I have one, too, and now it has a new name. Because the show's called You Dig, this is now called the Dig You Inquisition. So this is Dig You, and it has a fanfare, and check out this fanfare. Man, what'd you think of the fanfare? That was crazy, huh? Isn't that
Sharp 11 works on everything.
See? My man, the Dig You Inquisition. Number one, there's seven. It's like seven steps to heaven. It's seven cues to know. Use is what it is.
Okay.
Number one.
Is there going to run any legal trouble after this is over?
I don't think so. We've got a really crack legal team, just like our crack edit team. Favorite superhero. Now, this could either be movies, cartoons, comic books, or a real person. Doesn't matter. Favorite superhero. Ooh.
Well, cartoon character, Spider-Man, always been Spider-Man.
I just saw this as a kid. Deborah and I went and saw the Spider-Man exhibit out at the Museum of Science and Industry yesterday. It was killing. They had the original artwork.
One of the other ones right here is a guy named Marty Hogan. You're not going to know who that was because he was a professional racquetball player. That's what I really wanted to do. When I was a kid, I wanted to play professional racquetball, but that sport kind of had an audience, then it kind of faded, so I had to pick something else.
You've just answered number two, but I'll say it anyway, favorite sports team and or athlete. So you may have.
Well, favorite sports team is the Raiders. Are you kidding? They're awful, but they're still my team. You know?
See, that's a real fan if you love them, even when they're awful.
Well, you're a Bears fan, so you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is, we got one more day at least. We got Sunday, and the LA team's coming in here.
I saw the snow.
Oh, negative, as I told you, -3. I just walked Phoebe. -3.
You must have played football on that. I don't get it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, the Raiders just got Mike Tomlin. Ironically, they got the Steelers coach, one of their arch rivals. They got their coach coming in.
I didn't realize that.
I think that's locked up. Pretty sure
that's cool. Excellent. Well, there you go. You get the great coach, and all you need now is a Caleb Williams, and you're off and running.
No joke. I hear you.
Caleb is the Iceman.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Oh. All right, so now we've got number three. We're back into music a little bit. This is your go-to, not your favorite or the best, but your go-to recording. Here's a recording that, he's like, God, I'm going to listen to that again. What's the go-to?
Ooh, wow, I don't know if I have one of those. My go-to now is, I think Caleb Hudson has a recording he just did not long ago. And we're just in Japan at the Blue Note. I think I listen to that thing every morning when I woke up in the morning. What's the used to be the crazy weird city in Texas?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
No, it says it's where South by Southwest is.
Austin?
Austin, yeah, he's teaching in Austin.
Oh, okay. That's right. He sure is. I knew that. Right.
He was at North Texas, but I think they just offered him such a great deal in Austin. He probably can't take it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Caleb Hudson will get the actual name of the album.
That boy can play, as they say.
Indeed. There is no denying that. As the as that parrot we were talking about said, you can't cage the truth. Can't cage the truth. Oh, man. All right, here's another one. What Number four, what is streaming at Castle Green? What's streaming? What are you and Vic watching these days?
You know, we just watched the part two of the Wicked movie.
Oh, what'd you think? Is it happening?
It was all right. It was good. I mean, I liked it because I liked the music and the orchestra sounds amazing. So for me, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's the English orchestra.
Oh, okay.
But
I haven't watched it yet. I'll check that out.
My son at Wicked sometimes, so it's kind of fun to watch the movie. But fantastic. You know, we also watched that movie F1. It just came out. That's
because I'm a Brad Pitt thing.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Lewis Hamilton fan. Lewis Hamilton, you know, his hands were all in that behind the scenes. So yeah.
See, now this is the ulterior motive of the Dig You Inquisition is that I learn new stuff. And on that one, number four, I learned new stuff I want to see. So I'm going to check out both those. Number five, Frank Green's favorite ice cream.
Oof. Wow.
Tricky.
Man. I mean, I love just like, you know what I love? My favorite is Cherry Garcia, right?
Ooh. Yeah.
And here's an interesting Maynard story. As you know, Maynard's bus broke down. Finally, they had to get a regular bus. Remember that?
Right.
They had to get like an American Eagle. I think it was a Prevost or American Eagle bus, right? You know, American Eagle, you know, those different buses. One goes like this and one goes like that.
Yes.
So there's a refrigerator. And so I learned my lesson. So I bought a small thing of Cherry Garcia, like, you know, fine.
Yeah.
And I just about to dip my spoon in it, and Maynard's standing behind me. He goes, and what's that? I go, it's Cherry Garcia Ben and Jerry. You never had it? He goes, no. I say, want to try some? And she took one bite, and he handed me back the empty container.
No!
So, as you warned me. So I learned my lesson. So whenever I'd go to get ice cream on the road trips, I'd get two. I'd stash one in the fridge, and he didn't know about. And then I would start pretending to eat the other one, and he'd go, oh, that's that ice cream. And I go, yeah, here you go. Take it. It's all yours. He'd go, oh, really? And I go, yeah. I'd pull the other one out of the refrigerator. Maynard would tap me on the shoulder and goes, you're learning, kid.
Yeah. That's the best.
He
never did anything nice and easy. That's for
sure. That thing just exploded. It was unbelievable. I remember you talking about that with other things. But...
Yes, it's
gone. Gone in 60 seconds.
Poof. All gone.
Mm-hmm. You never saw it go. Oh. It just kind of went.
That's almost what I did. And I'm sure you experienced this standing next to him playing, swapping fours or something. It felt like you were on an event horizon and a black hole. And it's like you're being pulled when the air comes in. Whoa. Oh,
yeah,
okay. Number six. Frank Green's favorite season of the year.
Now, winter.
Oh, look at that. We are kindred souls. It's my favorite too. Why?
Yeah, it's great. Right. Today it's snowing here in New York. So I'm going to go out and walk around and enjoy that a little bit before it gets too dark.
It's epic, isn't it? I love the snow. I love,
I mean, coming from a place where it's boringly beautiful, you know, it's like 70 degrees and mild all the time. I've come to like the weather on the East Coast more than I thought I would, you know. I never thought I was going to live here, but yeah, I love the weather.
It's something about the seasons actually changing. That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, we'll end up with an easy one. Number seven. What is the meaning of life?
Wow.
You know, you dig?
You know, I hit that age where I've had about six existential crises in life.
You've survived some stuff.
Well, one of them is because I've been very fortunate to get to play. You know, I was just talking to you not long ago about, we did this recording a couple of days ago, and the record is in tribute to all of these people that we played with the Dizzy Gillespie band. So it's about, you know, Slide and Jimmy Heath and Ludi and Frank West and, you know, and the guys. And because when I first got in that band, it was like, I think it was Randy Brecker, me, Hargrove, and Claudio were the trumpets. I think that's what it was.
Woo!
And then Slide Hampton was playing lead trombone, and Jay Ashby and Proviance. And the saxophones were Frank West was playing lead alto, and then Antonio Hart was playing second alto, and then baritone saxophone was Gary Simillian, and then the two tenors were James Moody and Jimmy Heath, and Dennis McCraw was playing drums, and Benny Green was playing piano, and Faddis was doing the Dizzy thing out front. It was a great band, but it was frightening. But the cool thing is, I got to be such good friends with all of them.
Right.
Right. It was really kind of interesting. The crazy part is like maybe just because I set the bar so low. But when you play with everyone you wanted to play with, you kind of get, what am I doing, you know, kind of mentality. Sometimes like, okay, well, already played with all my favorites, you know, and got to play with Maynard for several years. You know, yeah. I got to go to Clark. I went to Clark. I played with Clark Terry for many years, so I got to go to Clark's house like every Thursday for a long time. For dinner, we'd go to Clark's house. And
that's a different level. That's a whole different level right there when you're the family. You're part of the family.
Well, that's the thing is I've been to James Moody's house. I've been to Jimmy Eat's house several times. I've been to Sly Hampton's house. You know, we've both been to Maynard's house. It's like it just feels like, you know, I don't know. It's not that what I'm going to do is better than that, but when you hit all your goal targets, maybe you need to set the bar a bit higher. Maybe that's what the problem was. But that was when I first had my first like existential kind of crisis. And it's, you know, and my dad would say, yeah, but that's a blessing to have that kind of problem. That's a first world problem, you know,
so
kind of mentor.
Meaning of life would be, how would we wrap that up?
And so, you know, I'm thinking about it sometimes. I think that maybe there isn't really a meaning. Maybe you're just supposed to see if you can try to do your best at what you do and maybe help some people along the way and, you know, and try to be as nice as you can to people. Sometimes there are people out there that as much as you might try to be nice, they don't want to be nice. Right? I mean, the meaning of their life is to like dominate someone else and to be a certain way so they can feel a certain way. And sometimes it flies in the face of trying to be nice. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you have to try not to let it affect you. But man, who knows? I mean, I have this theory that we're just bacteria inside the body of a baby that's growing slowly. That's why the universe keeps.
Yeah, who knows? Right.
That's why the universe keeps expanding, because from our point of view, we don't realize we're inside a big giant baby that's becoming a person. But that's a different story for a different time.
It is. That'll have to be part two. It'll be Frank
Green.
It's also
why we move through the universe, because we're just bacteria that's moving through the baby, and we think we're so smart, we don't realize that it's just seeing other bacteria. And they're not really on the solar systems. They're not star systems. They're just other bacteria inside the same baby.
We could be approaching one heck of a big bang here.
Yeah, you dig?
You dig? As soon as
the baby starts eating solid food.
Woo! All right, well, oh, mercy. So I think it could be safely said right now that we know a lot more about Frank Green.
Than you ever wanted to know. Okay,
did you
guys.
Ever want a TMI, the Dig You Inquisition? Frank Green is known. All right, now it's time for, as we keep moving here, here's the Frank Green sampler platter. In the sampler platter, we're going to listen to a little clip and then a couple of pieces that Frank and I talked about. The first one, speaking of the Dizzy Gillespie All-Stars, this comes to us. This is a well-known, if Frank Green has a YouTube greatest hits, this is probably right at the top. And this is, everybody is known for their cadenzas on the Dizzy Gillespie tune Night in Tunisia. But you had a very special one that's got like 10 trillion views on Night in Tunisia. Can you tell us a little bit about this clip and then we'll watch it?
I think, you know, I used to never do a cadenza on that. And I love it because we do Tunisia as an encore. And so once we kind of got done, everyone did their cadenzas. You just played one note, you can go home. So Slide Hampton, being how Slide was, one night he just pointed who he wanted to play a cadenza, right? And so the guys would play. So one night I forgot where we were, he pointed at me. And I've got Randy and Claudio, and I actually look at Slide, I go, me? And he goes, yeah. I looked at Slide, I went, look around. But no, we're on stage at that point. I'm like, look around. Why would you choose? Look at all the choices you have. Why are you choosing? And he goes, nope, because you know how Slide was. You want everyone to do everything. So
right.
I started playing a little bit, and I tried to end my solo. Slide would not let me end. He wouldn't cue the last note until I played at least two or three notes above high G, at least. And
right.
So, I would be like, how about that? Nope. How about that? Nope. And then I would play a couple of notes. I'd play a double C or something, and he would let me end the tune. And so, so it sort of grew on itself. So when I played, I just put little snippets of things that were based on a joke that was from something else that was in the band. And so if that clip, I think, has a bunch of like inside jokes inside of it. So
It's got like Beethoven and some stuff.
I don't remember everything.
But I remember Jason Jackson. To Roy is right next to you, and you do something that cracks him up.
It was fun having Roy. But so that's kind of what it was. I think that... It was that Slide wouldn't let me finish the solo until I played something that, you know, was
well, let's,
something
let's check
high.
It out. Let's check it out. Here's the Dizzy Gillespie All-Star Band.
Right, I apologize in advance.
The Frank Green Cadenza. Here it is. Holy camoli. That was...
Yeah, that hurt a little bit. That would hurt, I'm not going to lie.
That'll leave a mark, as they say, unless you had the teacher that you started with, so there's no marks on Frank Green.
That's... Yeah, Bill's a good one.
All right, so now this one came, bless his heart, as they say, request from Frank. I'm like, what should we play? And he goes, let's do some Vinyl Hampton. Frank and I had a group together with some other wonderful musicians.
You took PDNS and put us in your group.
I went to the store right away and I said, let me get some of this, some of that. And I wanted to write for Frank Green again. So it's a rock band that it's kind of like a modern day version of Chicago, Blood, Sweat and Tears, Tower of Power, if they started now, what would it sound like? So we put that band together. The first one we're going to play, and we'll actually play the videos because there's some nice, Andy LaViolette did these videos. This first one is called One Song, and this one. And this has got a couple of interesting wrinkles to it. I mean, the idea, the composition-wise, was to write something like a Stairway to Heaven kind of rock anthem, but use the horns and do some things. So it starts out with a big sci-fi Chicago-esque intro.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went to record this, Frank had a recording session elsewhere or a gig. So you had to leave. So we recorded it without you. And then you put your parts in with Phil Bulla in New York. So what we that was something, man. And you nailed it. And talk about climbing into a sound. As soon as I heard Frank's sound, it's just like, I have you now.
Well, it's anyone who's played with you, they know it's super easy to play with you. I mean, seriously, it's sickening easily.
It's sickening easy. Admiration Club of Two, my friends. That's it makes it easy. All right, so here is a little bit. Well, we'll play the whole track. This is Frank in New York and the rest of the band in wherever we were, Denver, I think. And here is One Song.
Thank you.
We're back. Look at that. Man, you sound so good on that. That's those high F sharps. That was.
Yeah, you write hard music for us to play. For sure.
You know, all right. Speaking of that, I finally have learned how to write for Frank Green. All you got to do is write uninteresting parts and let Frank say, you know what? Would you mind if I did that? But up, but up. And I go, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, so this, right.
That's how I write for Frank. He essentially writes his own parts. That's why they sound so good. Oh, one more here in the sampler platter. Then we're going to have to wrap things up as we're zipping. We got a guy off screen now saying, wrap it up, wrap it up.
He's got the candy cane hook like the Apollo.
That's right, right. I don't want the guy coming out on the floor with the broom. Oh, man.
Love it.
We're going to play one more. This is an arrangement I did of Bill Withers' classic Use Me. And we had a lot of B-roll on this. We played, what was it? Was it called Ground Up Studios in Brooklyn? Or it's Michael Leake's place where we...
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's right by that good bagel place. There's a really great bagel place right by there.
That's right. You were telling me about
bunker.
That.
It's not the bunker. It's something else. I remember that studio. I forgot the name of it, though, but it's...
It was good. It was a very, very hip place to play. And, I should mention one thing that was really fun. Andy LaViolette did the video stuff for this. We're going to see another video by him, and he's gotten a Grammy with Snarky Puppy and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's very, very good videographer, cinematologist, as it were. And when he heard one song, the lyrics were, I'd gotten the idea from Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot. So some of the lyrics are, one small dot, one song. And he said, Andy goes, man, I love those lyrics, man. One small blue dog. That is so cool. One small blue dog. I'm like, oh, yeah, that would have been a nice lyric, I suppose. Yes, there's a bunch of them. That's, okay, we might have to cut some of this out. My brother, Andy, brilliant guy, history professor, he, whenever he heard the Chicago song, I've been searching for so long. Mm-hmm. And there's a point in there, it goes, too fine an answer. And mm-hmm. he thought it was too fine on Esther. And he said, Chicago, Sean Esther, Chicago is a Fred Sanford fan. That's so cool.
She's a five-man Esther. Wow.
I can't hear that song now without hearing that. Here's Use Me. But at the end, I said, man, let's have some fun and do a party. And we cut loose. We let Frank cut loose. So he's got a solo at the end. Marvelous solo. And then the whole band joins in with party sounds. And I added our pal Daniel Pardo to come in and give us Spanish commentary. So we've got some Spanish commentary going on because it's kind of a salsa thing. Here's our version, Vinyl Hampton, Ask For It By Name. The tune is Use Me. Ryan Davidson plays a killing guitar solo, and at the end, we get to hear Frank doing that voodoo.
Oh, I apologize. That he do.
Ah! Here we go. Use Me.
Until you use me up. Until you use me up. My sister, she set me right down and she talked to me. If you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Feels this good.
on using me until you use me up.
Watch it, watch it, watch it. Use me.
Oh, I don't know what that note was at the end, but I liked it.
Well, anyone that asks me to improvise, I'm always going to just apologize for us and go, this is not my thing. I'm doing this under duress.
So fun to write for Frank Green. Oh, but now it comes to the point in this show that I hate. We're almost at the end. But before we get to the end, here's the final segment. What's next for Frank Green?
You know,
what's coming up?
I still want to come out to Chicago. I haven't been able to travel too much. We've been just a little bit, you know, thankfully a little bit busy, but, cause you know, what we should do, we should grab up some guys and go to Gaylord's. Is Gaylord's still around?
You know, that's a wonderful idea. I think it is. Go get some Indian. We'll have to do that. So when you come into town, we'll hit Gaylord's, we'll go Luminati's, we'll anywhere you want to go. And you know,
maybe we can try a different piece at Pequod's this time too.
Oh, yes.
I still want to hit that one spot under the by the Chicago River, though, with you two. I know this won't make it.
We can never
make it real, but.
Yeah, you never know. We can never, I can never remember the name of that. I'll have to remember.
Oh, I know where it is. So we'll just go there and you won't know where we're going. But I think it'll be good. The food there is good.
Perfect.
Oh, the view is great.
Well, I'm on it, man. You come to town. It's Frank Green week whenever you show up.
No.
We'll do it.
I can't wait.
We'll do it up. That means we've come to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, we're hanging with Frank Green. I think and I hope he knows by now how much I love him. Frank Green,
mutual.
Much love, my friend. And a pleasure, an honor, and a treat to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's awesome, man.
You got it. Luminati's cool. In our future. We'll do it. All right. See you later.
Bye, y'all.
Boom.
Woo!
Man, was that fun? Or what? No, man, that was just fun. Frank Green, one of my favorite people ever, ever, and now we've had a chance to hang a little bit. So, once again, click like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, to this podcast. You dig? And let's grow the show. Grow the show and make it go, yo. And we'll see you next time on You Dig?
WCBC Wheastworld.
You Dig is a production of Wheastworld Productions 2026.
Yeah, well, you know, I like the new name, but, you know, you're still not talking fast enough, man. It's lame.